You're live with Get Connected. I'm Mike Agarbo. I've got my co-host and friend, Andy Barrar. We've got a cool show for you today. We've got a lot of tech to talk. We'll be discussing unlocked phones. A new regulation is coming in for the telecom players, and we'll be giving you all the information you need to know about that and what you need to do to get an unlocked phone. Also, we're going to be chatting about smart speakers. This is a huge, huge category, and we really haven't seen it up in Canada yet. It's really starting to take hold down in the U.S. with Amazon. They've got their Echo speakers that you can talk to. Google's got their Google Home. Apple's getting into the mix as well with their HomePod. And I guess your guess is as good as mine, Andy, as to when these will be coming up here.
Actually, I know. I have. That's why we're talking about this.
Okay, don't say it. They'll have to tune in and find out.
Well, it's soon, so that's why we're going to talk about these smart speakers. Why would you want one in your home? And why are these companies really pushing them into your home? And you'll be surprised by the reasoning behind them trying to create these smart speakers inside our homes.
An interesting feature with the new updates that Apple announced. I don't know if you saw this, Andy. What's my favorite speaker system?
Yours is Sonos.
Sonos. So this is a company. They've been around for years now. They make the best multi-room speaker system in the market, hands down. It is so simple to set up. It's beautiful. You can set up all these different types of Sonos speakers throughout your house. You can stream music to any of them. You can have different music playing in different rooms, or you can have them all synced together.
Yes.
So I don't know if you read about the Apple announcement with AirPlay 2.
No, do tell.
Okay, so this just blew my mind, and I think it is something that Sonos should watch out for. So AirPlay is Apple's wireless standard for streaming content, whether that be audio or video, to different devices. So there's a lot of speakers on the market right now that are AirPlay compatible. It's kind of an Apple standard. So it allows you with your iPhone, instead of doing like a Bluetooth connection, which is kind of painful sometimes, you use the AirPlay function, and it just makes it seamless. You can send your music right to that speaker or whatever device. And so AirPlay 2 is coming out, Andy. And so there's going to be all these speakers coming out in the market, and some are actually backwards compatible. You'll be able to update them. It's going to make these speakers like a Sonos system. So if you've got multiple AirPlay 2 compatible speakers in your house, Andy, with your iPhone and the music on your iPhone, you can send music to the different speakers, maybe you have like five different speakers in the home. You can send different music to the different speakers, or you can have them all play at the same time.
Do they have to be all, the speakers all have to be from the same manufacturer?
No.
Oh, so that's a game changer right there.
Don't you think?
But, however, let me talk from the Android side. We've already had this technology, so I know you're getting excited about it, but there's something called Chromecast.
Apple just announced it,
hold
so
on.
It's real now.
Chromecast Audio has this ability. It's only like, I don't know, $50, $60.
Yeah.
And you can take any old speaker. If you have those old ones and those old wooden cabinets from back in the 70s,
yeah,
you can turn those into smart speakers and from your Android device, push music in and create
can
a
you
multi-room.
Can you do multi-room?
You can do multi-room. So I know you're all happy and stuff, but yeah. That's
Apple
typical.
Apple just made it real.
No. Apple... Apple used to be the innovator. Now they're just imitating. When's the last good original idea Apple has had?
They've had a lot of great ideas.
Yeah? Apple Watch? No. There was already smartwatches before that.
I know, but it's the leading wearable in the market.
I'll tell you.
It's the leading wearable in the market.
I'll tell you the last good idea Apple had. It was with the iPad 7 years ago in 2010.
Yeah, but that wasn't like a brand new idea. They just basically made it better.
They created a category of and changed the way that we use mobile
They created
devices,
a wearable category, right? With the watch.
No, it was already around. Sorry.
Everyone else is dropping off. Moto's not making watches anymore.
Look at all the features that Apple Watch has. You can sit there and draw a little heart. When's the last time you drew a heart?
Well, if you had an Apple Watch, I would send a heart to you. I love my Apple Watch. I get all my notifications. I can take calls on it. It's got the heart rate monitor, so I can actually see what type of activity.
Or lack of activity.
Yes, there is quite a bit of lack of activity. Anyway, I'm excited. It's kind of an interesting thing. So, moving on, because we'll always squabble about Android and, and Apple iPhones. Amazon. Big news.
Holy cow, this is big news. Now, Amazon has basically said that they're going to purchase Whole Foods. And, you know, they've dabbled in the grocery industry. The entire grocery marketplace is needed for disruption. Like, a grocery store has not changed since 1985. It is the pretty much the same thing we had back then. So it's ready for disruption. Amazon has been, you know, looking into this with their Amazon Go store.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting concept. They've got a few, they're testing right now.
It's a test store. Imagine a grocery store where you walk in, you put stuff into a bag, and you just leave, and then you get a bill later. And
that's, you don't check out or anything. You just leave.
You just leave, and it can detect. So the thing about the grocery market is that they have such low profit margins that they're not really doing anything innovative, right? They're not trying new things because they...
Well, they kind of are, but there's not like a... big new idea.
The biggest thing that's ever happened in the grocery industry is self-checkout, right?
And yeah, that's not totally.
And that was just to save money and getting your customers to become your workers, which is pretty ingenious when I think about it. But this is a big move because now they have all these Whole Foods all across North America.
Yeah, there's about 460, I believe.
Yes, and so that also can become a distribution hub for all of Amazon products. And they're going to learn a lot. They said they're not going to change much right now with Whole Foods, but they're definitely, if they can get into the grocery business, and I'm buying everything on Amazon Prime these days. Like, I bought toilet paper, toothpaste.
So, but yeah, they're kind of like a grocery store online for a lot of products.
Yeah, but it's that produce. It's that, you know.
Produce and meat.
Getting your milk,
that.
Your bread,
yeah.
And vegetables.
But in some large U.S. cities, they have that service. They have Amazon Fresh.
They do.
But they don't have that everywhere.
They don't have it scaled. And this is going to allow them to do that. And it's funny because I was listening to a marketing professor in the States about a month ago saying, I predict that Amazon's going to buy a company like Whole Foods. Because that's how that's the only way they're going to make inroads into that business is by jumping deep dive right in, learning everything about the grocery business, and then finding how to improve it. And that's something Amazon has done on the e-commerce side. And if they can do that, that's $1 billion market because we always...
Multi-billion
because we're always eating and we always need food and we need fresh food.
And toilet paper. Well, you made some good points there, Andy. Obviously... delivery is Amazon's big thing, right? Because you're ordering everything online. The most expensive part of that delivery is the last mile.
That's right.
So if they've got these Whole Food hubs all over in all the major cities, and typically they're in more affluent areas as well, so they've got, you know, a good, I guess, wealthy clientele to go after. People can pick up stuff there, or they can use those as hubs to deliver things to bring costs down. But there was another big thing, you know, I read as well. They're saying that Amazon makes a lot of money on their own brands.
Yes.
And so Whole Foods has a bunch of their own Whole Food brands, you know, food and different types of things. Now Amazon will be able to take those onto Amazon.com where you can order them to be delivered as well. So people trust Whole Foods, I think, and I think they trust a lot of the Whole Food brands, so they'll be able to make even more money selling that stuff online.
Now, here's the question, though. Whole Foods is expensive.
Yes.
Can they get the price down? Because that's one of the criticisms of
Whole Foods. Think they need to. Like, when you go to Whole Foods, you're there because you're expecting higher quality produce, everything, you know, products.
Yeah.
So the customers that go there, I think, have been trained to pay more. So, again, when you have that brand, and I'll bet you'll see that coming on to Amazon.com very quickly, they'll be able to charge more money for these different products.
Possibly. Another thing I think that Amazon might do, I don't know if I read this somewhere or if I came up with this idea, is they might take like that concept of Uber and then have people where you could become an Amazon driver and you can start delivering in that last mile. So you can make a couple
extra
bucks.
They're experimenting with that now.
They are. Okay. Yeah. So I didn't come up with this idea.
You had a few beers one night and you're on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
You wanted to make some more money.
Yeah, but I think that would be a great thing because you could rate the driver. Did it come on time and all that? And if they can just like, there might be a day, like if you're in the retail business, it's ready and ripe for disruption and it's going to happen.
Oh, it's being disrupted as we speak.
Exactly.
And so I think this is just the start. Like, you know, if I were Walmart, I would be thinking, how do I accelerate my online strategy? Because Walmart, obviously great at bricks and mortar. You can go to Walmart stores, you know, they're doing well in that regard in their category. But from an online perspective, they still have a long ways to go to compete with Amazon.
Costco as well should be taking note because...
Yeah, Costco's, it's different. Like, it's kind of a destination, right? Like, I go to Costco because, yes, great deals, but I always go there too because, you know, you go there and they always have something new that you don't expect. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I go in there just wanting to spend $100. I come out of there with $500 because, you know, I found a new patio furniture or something that I wasn't planning on.
That's why you got to keep your head down when you're in Costco and just go and get what you need and then get out. I agree with you.
I try not to go there more than once a month. When we come back, the cell phone carriers, they have to legally allow you to have an unlocked phone now. We'll be getting the latest info on that and what you need to do from our friend Daniel Bader. Stay tuned. You're back with Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here with Andy Barrar. Still lots of tech to talk today. Later on, we'll be talking about smart speakers and what you need to know. They're coming to Canada. They're going to change the way we interact with the internet and our homes in the coming year. So you'll want to stay tuned to learn how that's all going to work. Of course, we'll be doing a little bit of open line, maybe giving you a few Father's Day last-minute gift ideas. I know, Andy, you've got some thoughts on that.
I sure do.
And, of course, we'll get App of the Week from Christina. Quickly, before we talk about unlocked phones, Andy, the contest.
We got a great contest. We're giving you away, I guess the best way to describe this, it's like a smart backpack. It's called the Life Pack, and it is awesome. It is a solar-powered anti-theft backpack created right here in Vancouver. They raised over $1.2 million U.S. dollars via crowdfunding last year, and it includes a solar bank, a power bank, Bluetooth speaker. It's got all these different compartments to put your passport.
It's like the Swiss Army knife of backpacks.
Yes.
It is like pretty amazing, and it doesn't look stupid. It's actually really cool looking.
It looks like a normal backpack,
yeah.
But you can charge your phone with it. You can play music from it. And it's solar powered, so it charges itself while you're walking around. All you have to do is go to our Facebook page. Get Connected Media is what you want to search in Facebook. So facebook.com/getconnectedmedia. You'll find it over there. Make sure you like our page and enter that contest for the Life Pack by Solgard Designs. You got to check it out. Get Connected Media.
New rules have come down. CRTC is mandating that the telecom carriers allow us to have unlocked phones as of December 1st. On the line, we've got Dan Bader. He's senior editor over at Mobile Nations. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So, is this a big deal?
Yeah, it is a big deal. It's a big deal for anybody who travels, and it's a big deal for the 30 million odd Canadian wireless customers that are clamoring for more options, for more choice with their providers. Now, this obviously doesn't make it cheaper to have your phone, although you'll now be able to unlock your device for free as opposed to paying $35 to $50. But I think the biggest deal here is that it'll be easier to switch carriers. Once you buy a phone from, Rogers, Bell, or Telus, you can just go over with your current device once it's paid off to any other carrier, and it will just work. So the ability to switch carriers is going to be a lot easier. And as a result, I think more people are going to be willing to switch over when they're not happy with their service.
Andy, I've always hated this because I do a lot of traveling. I'll get my cell phone from one of the carriers, and I've always had to phone them up and pay them typically $50 to unlock it. And I just really? And I don't think it was really that much work on their part. It's just some guy on a keyboard punching in a code and sending it to my phone.
Dan, do you know if the carriers have responded to this ruling? Because I can't imagine they're happy about this.
Well, they're losing money.
Yeah, the carriers have not said anything definitive about the updates to the wireless code of conduct. Right now, their public comments are that they are poring over the changes and, will certainly adhere to them once they come into effect on December 1st. Obviously, as Mike said, there is money lost. The carriers made about $37 million from unlocking phones last year
alone.
There was
a lot of work involved. A lot of work involved with that, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, it's a drop in the bucket compared to the overall $22 billion that they made from our wireless service in general. But it's it's a fair amount of money for any company to lose. And this is money that they're going to want to make up in some other ways for sure. So we have to keep that in mind, that we may not be paying for unlocking fees anymore, and it may be easier to switch our carriers, but the fees will come to us in other ways. They may raise prices starting on December 1st as a result.
They won't do that.
There's absolutely no precedent for that at all.
You know what I think they might do? It's like if you want to get a new SIM or something, they're just going to jack the price for those little nano SIMs, because they're just going to find other ways to make that money and recoup that money back.
Well, It's interesting because obviously it's going to be easier for people to switch carriers. But I think over the past several years, the government has kind of put some rules in to make it more friendly for consumers to go from carrier to carrier, to take your number to a different carrier.
That was a huge one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, and you can weigh in here as well, Daniel. I think the carriers have really upped their game with customer service over the past few years anyway.
You're absolutely right. It is much easier to switch carriers. The one of the benefits of the first draft of the wireless code back in 2013 was that customers would be able to just pay off their phone. You get a phone for, say, $1,000 and the company subsidizes it for $500. And once you pay off the rest of the amount, you can leave the carrier. No more early access fees, nothing like that. This takes things one step further, and it really modernizes the way that people... it really takes into account the way that people use their phones today, because they travel a lot with their devices as their main computers a lot of the time, and they want to be able to use it wherever they are.
Well, I know, especially I own my own company, Andy, and we go traveling to different shows and that. And, we've been using, Roam Mobility SIMs. Now there's the Always On Wireless, SIMs as well, that save you a truckload of money when you're roaming down in the U.S. So this is a great thing for consumers, especially for travelers.
Dan, I have a one question. What do you think is going to happen? Are we going to see more phone exclusives for these carriers to differentiate themselves?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question, Andy. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of phone availability, because right now, exclusives seem to be going by the wayside to some extent. We heard of a really big exclusive coming to TELUS later this year or later this summer. One of the founders of Android back in 2005, he now went off on his own and he's creating a phone called the Essential Phone. This is Andy Rubin. And that's coming to TELUS as an exclusive. And the Huawei P10 Plus is a Rogers exclusive. So there's a lot of big name phones coming to carriers these days as exclusive. I think, with the phones being unlocked out of the box, it may actually take some of the need for exclusives away. I think, because you'll be able to just pay off the phone and take it to any other carrier without paying any fees, the interest in phone exclusives may actually go away a little bit. But that's just me speculating. It may actually have the opposite effect, and there may be a lot more incentive to keep people on a two-year contract. There may be some sweetheart deals right at the beginning to get you to stick to that two-year contract in order to prevent people from sniffing around at other carriers.
We've been talking with Daniel Bader, senior editor over at Mobile Nations. Daniel, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Always a great website to go to find the latest in telecom technology news. When we come back, smart speakers. You're going to have one in the next 5 years, and we'll give you the lowdown. You're back to Canada's best technology radio show, Get Connected. Mike Agarbo here with Andy Barrar. I just made that up.
I know. I love it. I love it.
We'll see if anyone calls me on that. We've got a lot more tech to talk here. We'll be going open line in a little bit. We'll also be hearing App of the Week from Christina. And Andy, I want to talk about smart speakers now. This is a huge category that's really growing in the U.S., going to be coming here into Canada as well. On the line, we have Brian Jackson. He's the editorial director over at IT World Canada. Thanks for joining us, Brian. Are you there, Brian? Oh, I think we have lost Brian. Maybe we'll try to get him back. But when we talk about smart speakers, Andy,
hey,
and we alluded a little bit to this earlier in the show, these are speakers that you can listen to music, but they're also smart connected speakers. They're connected to the internet, the Wi-Fi in your home, and they allow you to command them. They're always listening, for better or for worse.
And that's the thing. It's always listening to what you're saying.
And what they allow you to do, though, is actually get information. So Amazon, they're kind of the leader out there right now. You can talk to their speaker and get things like the weather, the news, get calendar reminders. But also down in the U.S., order things like an Uber to come and pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
And more now, manufacturers are tying in with it for connected homes. Looks like we'll try Brian here again. Brian Jackson, editorial director at IT World Canada. Are you there, Brian?
Yeah, hi, I'm here, guys. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now. Brian, we're just talking about smart speakers. You know, the big one I believe is Amazon down in the U.S. Google's really getting into it now as well with Google Home. Apple has announced their HomePod. How big of a deal is this?
This is a really big deal. If you remember back to when the iPhone first came out in the U.S., I don't know if you can cast your memory back all the way to 2007. The iPhone launched south of the border, and it was out for a whole year before we got the iPhone 3S in Canada. And then, you know, it only took a few years before everybody had smartphones in their pockets. So basically, I think that we're at that moment right now in Canada again for the smart home speakers. And, you know, we have Google Home being the first one that's going to be released here in Canada in a couple weeks' time. On Monday, June 26th, it's going on sale.
I know I have a lot of listeners right now, and they're probably thinking, I don't want a smart speaker in my home always listening to me. Why? What would you tell listeners? Why would they want one?
Yeah, it's an interesting that is raised as a privacy concern because, of course, if you have like an Android phone that is connected to Google Assistant right now, you carry a microphone that's connected to the cloud and the same smart assistant around with you all the time. So if you think Google is spying on you, that is already happening. Smart home assistants, you know, the benefit is that it's only sending to the cloud anything that comes after the trigger word, right? So when you say, hey, Google, then you make a request, that's when you're triggering the system to send your audio to the cloud. And in fact, Google even offers a little section in your settings where you can review everything that has been submitted to its server.
Brian, I know you've had a chance to try out Google Home. You mentioned it's coming out in Canada on June 26th, but you went to the States and purchased it and tried it out already.
Actually, I had it shipped from the States to my house, so I've been using it for a month in Canada, you know, in the sort of gray market support. And to be honest, it works totally fine here. So we're waiting for the full support to come at the end of the month, of course, and I'm sure a few more features will be on board, but pretty much it's like 90% functional right now.
What are you using it for?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's the first thing I talk to in the morning, and it's the last thing I talk to before I go to bed at night, I realize, because I'm using it to control the lights in my house. So I have several light switches and light bulbs connected to it. And I'm triggering my lights on and off with it. And I'm also using it, of course, to listen to the radio and to listen to podcasts and to music. And, of course, the primary function that this serves is a smart speaker, and it is great for that.
Now, on the Android side, Brian, you know, with an Android phone, you would have to say, like, okay, Google. Is this the same way with Google Home?
Exactly. You have your trigger phrase. You can say, okay, Google, or hey, Google, and I wonder how many devices I'm triggering right now while I say that on the radio here. But you say that, and then you make your request, and you can do everything from play Spotify playlists. You can order an Uber, which I've done in Canada. That works fine. You can add items to your shopping list. You can play any radio station. And so on. There's even these apps, like you could think of them as apps on your mobile phone. There's services that developers have released that you could access and do any number of things.
Brian, I'm just going to come out and say you're a geek. I'm a geek.
Yeah.
We love this stuff. Will normal people be able to use this and set it up?
Yeah, I definitely wonder that myself. Like, there's a line between, is this actually a useful way to do things, or am I just geeking out and having fun? But when my fiance started using it to turn off the lights and add things to the shopping list, I realized, no, this really is easier. And people don't, you know, there's certain tasks that people are going to be relieved that they don't have to pull that smartphone out of their pocket anymore. They can just call out to the nearest device in their house and say what they want. And I think that is going to be enjoyed by a lot of people.
Brian, how accurate is it? Because I know the first time that my wife uses something like this and it doesn't recognize the command she gives it, it'll be dead to her.
Yeah, that's so important, is that it actually gets your requests right. And it does. You know, I almost always am successful. And unless there's some other, like, loud TV playing in my house, I find that it works every time.
Brian, how far do you have to be away from the Google Home speaker to still have it listen to your commands?
Yeah, that's the amazing thing to me, is I find I can be in a totally different room, and I have two in my apartment sort of set up, and it's fine to shout down the hallway. It is quite good at picking up your audio from a few rooms away.
We've been talking with Brian Jackson, editorial director over at IT World Canada, a great publication. You can see them online as well. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Hey, happy to come on. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Google, turn off all of Brian's lights. We'll see if that works. We're going to open up the phone lines. We'll take a few of your tech calls and questions in our open line part of the show, 604-280-9898, 1-877-399-9898 if you are phoning long distance anywhere in North America. You know, we'll take any tech question, or hey, if you got some thoughts on these smart speakers and having a speaker always listening to you in your home, how you feel about that, we'd love to hear from you as well. We'll be back after this. You are back with Get Connected. We've gone open line. We're going to take a few calls here from our listeners. We've got Tony on the line. Hey, Tony.
How's it going?
Good. What are you thinking?
I'm not anti-technology,
yep.
But I think, have we really gotten this lazy that we need to go to this point? And so many people are so socially inept already with texting and everything. Now they're going to become even more and getting into cocoon. It reminds me of a movie. Have you seen that movie Surrogates with Bruce Willis?
Yes, yes.
Totally reminds me of it. You know, we're going to have somebody, you know, in the end you're going to have an android or whatever hooked up to you while you're sitting in your lounger, and you have, you know, and it's doing everything for you.
Well, I mean, the technology's kind of headed that way, Andy. Are we getting lazier? Yeah.
Well, yeah. The thing is, okay, we had like remote controls, right, to change the TV.
Yes.
And stuff.
And that was glorious.
And it was glorious.
Yeah.
But the thing is, now our voices are the remote control.
Yeah.
Like one thing I did at my house, actually I did it in our office as well, is mount a tablet onto the wall.
Yes.
And then I control multiple different devices from that one thing, whether it's, say, a speaker system or lights.
Or that stupid coffee maker that's,
or the coffee
30
maker
feet away.
That we got, yes, that
yes.
You could make coffee from. So what this does is having these smart speakers is allow, instead of having to walk up to the tablet and to make these commands, I can just talk it and it's going to happen. So does it make it lazier? Probably, but at the same time, it certainly is convenient. Just imagine turning your lights off. You're about to sit and watch a movie. Rather than going over and turn the lights or switching them off, you can just say command, put me in movie mode. And then if you have these colored lights, they'll all switch to a different color. So it's kind of cool.
Bit of money to spend, though. I mean, I love the. I'm experimenting with a few home connected items, but
yeah.
I mean, if you're going to kit your house out with all the lights and everything, it can get into the thousands of dollars.
It can, and you want to take it slow, because you don't want to get something and then you never use it, because then that's just bad. But
well, you got to be worried about the ecosystems now. You've got the Amazon,
yeah.
Echo ecosystem. With their Alexa voice assistant. You've got Google Home now.
Yep.
And, of course, Apple does not want to be left behind. They've got their HomePod coming out that works with their HomeKit system. So these are a bunch of manufacturers that are making connected home devices that work with Apple products.
But also, now you got another juggernaut, Microsoft, getting into the game. They partnered up with Harman Kardon, and they're going to have a smart speaker that's using Cortana, which is Microsoft's voice.
Yeah, voice assistant. Well, we'll see what happens over the next few years. We've got Glenn on the line. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Quick question.
Yeah.
Do you think it's better off to get a standalone high-res audio-video player, like, say, play FLAC files, than using a PS4 Pro?
What do you think, Andy?
It's interesting. What kind of stuff are you trying to consume? What kind of media?
Well, what I'm using is, like, for my Hi-Fi setup at home, I'm trying to, you know, like, see if I could use my PS4 to play like FLAC files, high-res video files, maybe use it for a 4K video player for my TV, whatnot. And I was wondering if it's better off just to get like a standalone high-res video player or audio player from Sony, or, you know, like a 4K DVD or Blu-ray player from Sony or whatever have you.
Is the PS4 using FLAC? Does it support FLAC?
It supports Flack, but I'm just wondering, like, you know, if it's better off just to get like something that's standalone than using something like a PS.
Well, you know, it's a great question, and that's the nice thing about you know, some of these video game consoles like the PlayStation 4. They're able to play all types of files, you know, 4K, you know, the high res audio files as well. So, I mean, if you're comfortable with that interface, fantastic.
Yeah.
Of course, you can buy a standalone player. Not all of these standalone players will play all those different formats. So you just got to be careful in what you're choosing.
Yeah, that's right. The thing about these gaming consoles, especially something like the PS4, is that they're essentially computers that are connected.
Like a home entertainment system.
Yeah, right? Like you can play Spotify off it. They have all these things. It's funny because I have a PS4, but I only use it to play video games and maybe watch Netflix if I'm too lazy to go and use my smart TV interface. But other than that, it's so powerful. So if you already have it, I suggest trying to make use of it. It comes down to the controlling and does it suit
your needs. I mean, you can. I know for the Xbox, you can buy a media center remote for it. I'm sure you can with the Sony PlayStation.
And you can get like a Bluetooth keyboard as well.
Yeah.
And use that.
But, you know, you got to be careful what standalone players you're getting. Like, I know the Apple TV, the new one, doesn't do 4K. I know some of the Roku boxes do, but, you know, will they play FLAC, which are high res audio files?
Uncompressed.
And what is the interface like? I would just experiment with your Sony. I mean, if you've got one already, just see what the interface is like. Are you comfortable with it? Can you get to all your different files easily? And if it's not doing it well for you, you know, maybe check out one of these standalone players. London Drugs is a great place to go to for that. They've got a lot of great different devices, and they're pretty knowledgeable on them as well. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, more tech to talk, including Christina coming up with her app of the week shortly. Stay tuned. You're back with Get Connected. Mike and Andy here in studio. Coming up this Monday, I will be down at Global TV for the Global BC Morning News. I think around 8:15, 18:20, I'll be showing off the new Apple iPad Pro for people who want to see that.
Very cool.
So tune in for that. Again, Global BC News, the morning show around 8:20 Monday morning. It's that time of the show. We have Christina Stoyanova in studio, and she's got an app for us. What do you got?
Well, I have several.
You've got several. Oh,
for
it's
you.
Bonus time.
It's bonus time. So I don't know if a lot of people know this. You brought this up to me this morning, but a lot of cities have their own apps now.
They do, and it's awesome. I live in Surrey.
Yeah.
Here in British Columbia, and the app is awesome. It's got everything I need to know, like all the different city services, when my garbage is going to be picked up, whether it's recycling or garbage, if I need a dog license. It is amazing.
Yeah, and there are actually, for the Vancouver one at least, you can actually submit service requests on there. So a few weeks ago, there was a huge windstorm by my place, and a tree broke in half and fell into the street.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do, so I did nothing.
Yes.
And I'm sure somebody called it in because they came and cleaned it up shortly thereafter. But
you can do that through the app.
Actually do that through the app.
Oh, I got to check and see if the Surrey one has that. I'm going to send them all kinds of service requests.
It's funny because I have a complaint that I have to do the city of Surrey.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, they came to redo the sewer system.
Yeah.
So they took off my fence. And when they put it back, it's not leveled. So I put my level on it. And it's like four screws. I could probably do it myself. And everyone's like, no, you got to complain to the city and get them to come and put this back.
You're handy Andy.
I know. That's what I said. I go, everyone's like, my neighbor's like, no. Call the city. Call the city and get them to fix it.
No, sorry, city of Surrey. Andy's going to be using the app now to complain.
There you go.
But the nice thing is these apps are free.
They are free and they have a lot of features. Like the Vancouver one has some road and transportation features. So you can actually see where all the bike lanes are and motorcycle parking and charging stations for your electric vehicle. All of these things are in there.
Can you just imagine how much money and time that saves cities now, having all of that amalgamated into one app?
So like, that people aren't calling it.
Oh, I know.
City Hall.
Like, I don't even know how we did it in the old days. Like when I, you know, had to get, you know, different services from the city. You know, I used to live in Coquitlam. You know, you'd have to find the phone number or go down to like City Hall. It was just like a major pain in the butt.
Yep. And now you can do it all through your smartphone. How cool is that?
The times we live in, Andy.
Well, wait till the smart speakers come. Then you just have to talk to your speaker.
You can complain to the city of Surrey through your Google Home speaker.
That's the dream.
Okay, Google, I've got a complaint for Surrey. My fence isn't level and it's their fault. You know they're going to block you, right?
Probably.
Anyway, I apologize to the city of Surrey for getting Andy all riled up about this here. But so, like you said, they're available for most cities.
Yeah, so just go to your city's website. For Vancouver, the app is called VanConnect, but the other cities might have different names. So just go to your city's website and go from there.
Check it out. Andy, quickly, the contest one more time.
We're giving away the Life Pack backpack. This is a backpack for the digital age. It is solar powered and it has an anti-theft, you know, features in it as well. It has in this backpack a solar bank, a power bank, a Bluetooth speaker so you can charge your phone. It's a 3-in-1. Even has a little thing to open up a bottle of beer as well. It's got a bottle opener built into it. I don't know why no one ever thought of that before, but you just got to go to our Facebook page. Get Connected Media. That's what you got to search on Facebook. All one word to enter and win the Life Pack.
Get connected. Mike and Andy and Christina logging off. We'll see you again next time. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.